loyal to Kamsa. And their loyalty was out of fear. The fear is that Kamsa had overpowered all the demons in the area. And their survival meant that they have to be subservient to him. They have to fulfill his orders, otherwise he would kill them. And so, they would show their loyalty to Kamsa by running errands and doing favors for him. That is how they would establish and demonstrate their loyalty to him. So she was sent on assignment. Hey, Putana, I was told that the eighth child of Devaki, right? I was told by this voice, this baby girl that I tried to murder by holding her foot and trying to crash her to the head to the ground. She slipped from my hand and she had this very eerie, sarcastic laughter. Kamsa, you fool. You think you're going to kill this eighth child of Devaki who's already born somewhere. And interestingly, the voice in the sky which said, Kamsa, the eighth child of Devaki will kill you, did not say the eighth son of Devaki. It says Ashtame Garbhe, Ashtama Garbha, the eighth child. So the gender was not spoken. So Kamsa did not know if it's a boy or a girl. So when he saw the girl child, he said, doesn't matter. Better to be safe than sorry. Right? He used the proverb, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Who wants to deal with all this when this girl grows up? Maybe she's the one who's going to kill me. And so he tried to kill that little girl. But she told him, that child is already there, born. So Kamsa was advised, don't wait till these children grow up and you don't know where this child will be, who that child will become. Because once they become older, they'll become stronger. Now they're babies. Babies are very, very weak. In fact, they're so weak that the first 3 months for human babies, their necks are not strong. You have to always hold under the neck. If you don't hold, the head will bob down and pretty much the child can die. So they are so delicate and completely dependent, lying on their backs. Cannot express anything, just so crying for everything. You know, they're completely helpless, nothing they can do. The only strength they have is for two things, is to suck milk from their mothers and to cry to express that something's not okay. Once in a while they will smile, that's about it. They have no strength, babies have no strength for anything else. Everything else Mother Nature takes care, as far as the pooping and all that is just Mother Nature. They can only do two things. They have the strength to suckle the breast. That's it. So babies are very, very vulnerable. And this lady had the specialty of kidnapping and killing babies. So we might wonder, oh, that is so gross and heartless. In the modern context, there are many, many putanas. There are persons who, for the pleasure of their tongue, take away baby calves from other cows. It's called veal, right? They take away small chickens from their mothers and they're killed. Why? Because someone is hungry. They like the taste of the meat of a newborn calf or a young calf. So there are many putanas, many, many descendants of putana. But anyway, this lady, she showed up and it says, Tatra Vichinvati Shishun. She was looking for children and babies She wanted to hear all the news of where babies were born in Vrindavan. And the interesting word is Yadrichaya. It's the first word in the second line. Yadrichaya means somehow or the other. Prabhupada says independently, and in translation he says, sent by the superior potency of the Lord. So Yadrichaya generally means somehow or the other, generally understood as some divine intervention was going on. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes how bhakti begins, he says Yadrichaya, that's the word he uses, same word, to mean that for all of us bhakti begins somehow or the other. And you can't exactly say this is why. It's somehow or the other. Some prasadam, some devotee's grace, some poster somewhere, the mantra, yadricha, somehow or the other. That latent interest and eagerness for Krishna is slightly awakened. Yadrichaya. Meaning, there is no particular formula that everyone becomes a devotee like this. Yadrichaya, somehow or the other. So, while she was searching, there were so many households, there were so many newborn babies, somehow or the other, she happened to be at Nanda Maharaja's house. So this, Prabhupada writes, by the higher power, superior potency, because this whole pastime is there. Now the question is, why didn't she show up at other people's homes? So one of the understandings is, that Krishna, regardless of what form he is in, four-armed form, two-armed form, Narasimha form, Varaha form, tortoise, Kurma form, or a fish form, it doesn't matter, he is always, always protecting his devotees. So rather than lead Putana to some other home where some other baby would have been murdered, Krishna's potency led her to come to Nanda Maharaja's house. And when she saw, she says, Nanda Gruhe, the word Asadantakam will come to it. He says, Balam Pratichanna, Balam. She saw this little baby. Like I said, babies are very, very powerless, vulnerable. She saw this baby. However, this baby was different from other babies. And that difference is described here. Pratichanna. We understand the word channa means hidden or in disguise. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Channa Avatar. A hidden form or in disguise as a devotee, although he is Krishna. So here, when you use the prefix prati, it means in a very special sort of way. So in a very special sort of way, this child was deceptive, was hidden. Prati channam. So what was hidden? Krishna is always full of six opulences. So what was hidden? Nija Uru Tejasam. Uru means very great. Krishna is called Urukrama because he took three very giant steps as Vamana. Correct? So Uru Tejasam, someone who has unlimited prowess and power, Tejasa. Tejasa also means effulgence. Krishna says, Prabhasa Shishurayo, I am the prowess or the brightness or the effulgence of the sun and the moon. That effulgence was hidden. That power, the unlimited power to crush the entire universe or creation in a millisecond was hidden. Pratichanna nija uru tejasam. and says dadarsha talpe. So she saw him lying down. Lying down is basically when someone is standing, they're in a powerful position. When someone's lying down, they're not so strong. Try fighting with someone who's lying down. It's easy. Easier. So dadarsha talpe, and this is the analogy. If you'll see in the next verses, today's, tomorrow's, and the day after, different metaphors are used for describing Krishna's potency in relation to how he was going to kill Putana. So here it says, Agnim Iva Ahitam Bhasi. This Nija Uru, his own unlimited potency was hidden just like fire covered with ash. So if you have burning coal and you let that coal burn, wow, Putana, we talk of Putana and skies are all happy. So this coal, when it is burning, after some time it becomes so hot, but it has this white covering of ash, so it looks as if it's cold, but it is very, very hot. And the only way you can see that is if you blow a little air or fan it, the red sparks just show up. So this unlimited potency of Krishna, this power, is very narrowly hidden. All that needed was a little for it to manifest. But the reason there is ash that covers this fire is to deceive a person to thinking it's not hot. So this deception is required. Now the question is, why is Krishna deceiving Putana? He could have just shown his Narasimhadev form like he showed to Hiranyakashipu. But Krishna reciprocates the way someone approaches him. Hiranyakashipu approached him with all barrels ready to fire, angry, and extremely, extremely ready for fight. So he showed as Narasimhadev. Putana has come in a deceptive form. So deception is counteracted with deception. Putana comes as a mother, a nurse. It's called a wet nurse. A wet nurse is a woman who nurses someone else's child. So she's come as a wet nurse because she wants to find these innocent babies, put them to her breast because her breasts are covered with poison, and when the child latches on to her nipple while thinking that they're taking milk, they're actually licking poison. And that was her way of killing babies. Very deceptive. So deception is met with deception. It's like this fire covered by ash just waiting to burn her. And Asad Antakam. This is a characteristic given to Krishna. Asad Antakam. The word Asad has different meanings. In this context, Asad means the demon. Sat means those who are situated in Sattva Guna, or the mode of goodness generally, or pure-hearted persons. So the opposite of that, impure-hearted, means Asad. And Krishna's purpose for appearing is Asad Antakam. So while he is playing this wonderful pastime as a baby and rejoicing and giving joy to all the residents of Vrindavan, he is not unaware of the project at hand. The project is Mother Earth had gone crying to Lord Brahma, who went praying to Lord Vishnu, please help. The earth is burdened by these very, very horrendous demons, Kamsa and all his associates, please help. So he has appeared, and as soon as he appears, he is busy. He is busy taking care of Putana, Shakadachura, one after the other, Trinavarta, non-stop. While he is playing with his friends and on the one hand, but on the other hand as well. So Putana has appeared to, although thinking she will kill him, she understands, it says she could understand that this child was not ordinary but was meant to kill all demons. So tomorrow's analogy is different. It's about a snake and a rope. We'll cover that tomorrow. We'll also cover tomorrow why Krishna closed his eyes. It's described in the next verse that Krishna closed his eyes. As soon as he saw Putana, he closed his eyes. So that's for tomorrow. Just in terms of parallel, the first demon that Krishna kills is Putana. And the first demon Lord Ramachandra kills is Tataka. She's also a woman or a female demon. So both the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord begin with killing of a female demon. Although Lord Ramachandra was 14 years old when he killed Tataka, and Krishna was a few days old when he killed Putana. The little difference is Putana came to Krishna to kill him. Lord Ramachandra went to Janasthan to kill Tataka. Vishwamitra took Lord Ramachandra to Janasthan because in that place they were performing some yajna, and that yajna was constantly being disturbed by Tataka and her sons, Mali and Somali. And they were making a big ruckus. Every time the brahmanas would start reciting their prayers and offering ghee and saying swaha, Tataka and all her associates would come. They would urinate into the fire. They would pass stool. They would throw bones, blood, flesh, and laugh loudly, ha ha ha, in an eerie way, and just spoil the whole atmosphere. So all the sages were very, very disturbed. Vishwamitra, he had the power that alone he could have completely finished all the demons. But he didn't want to, because he was on the project of becoming a Brahma Rishi. So whatever credits or whatever power he had accumulated by tapasya, he didn't want to spend it. Because once he would kill them, all his power would go away. He had to go back and meditate and re-empower himself. So he said, I'm not interested in all these fighting demons, although I can finish them off in 1 second. Let me go take help of Dasharatha Maharaj. He's the king of the area. I should seek his help. Specifically, I want to take his son, Lord Ramachandra, who's only 14 years old. So here, Yadrichaya word has meaning in Ramayana as well. Yadrichaya is because he did not go and tell Dasharatha Maharaj, you please come. He did not say, send your armies. He said, please, I have come to take your son for killing these demons. And Dasharatha Maharaj almost had a heart attack and died. He said, he's only 14 years old. He's very young. His body is very supple, very, very delicate. He does not like, you know, completely ripped with six pack and eight pack and all the biceps and triceps and nothing. Very, very delicate looking. In fact, he's so delicate that when he walks on this very shiny marble floor of the palace, his soles of his feet become bruised. He's so delicate. In fact, it is described that Sita Devi was so delicate that if a flower would touch her skin, that area would become reddish or bruised by petals of a flower. So delicate. How can I send him into the forest to fight these demons? Vishwan says, you've promised, you have to send him. So like this, Lord Ramachandra goes, because yadrichya, there is a superior potency working to facilitate these wonderful pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna here. That's one. Second, where it says nija uru tejasam pratichanna, it's hidden. The forms of Varaha and Narasimha, even Matsya for that matter, or Kurma, there is no doubt that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the sizes are so massive. When Varahadeva appeared out of the nostril of Lord Brahma and quickly grew, it is described he was so big that the residents of Bhu, Bhuvar, Swarg, and Maharloka all could simultaneously see that form. So big. When Matsya Avatar came, he was so massive that he was swimming in the ocean of causal devastation without a problem. When Narasimhadev came, Hiranyakashipu was shocked for a moment. Who's that? Because Hiranyakashipu was never afraid of anyone. Even he was like, for a moment, whoa, what's that? But when Lord Ramachandra and Krishna come, they're most delicate, cute, handsome, so disarming that the demons thought, these people are, come on, it's not even a challenge. So later, when Shurpanakha, in Ramayana, when Shurpanakha's nose and ears are cut off, she goes running to her brother Khara. This is one of my favorite verses, so every time I get a chance, I repeat it. Khara asks her, who has the strength to maim and torture Shurpanakha? She's like the undisputed demoness in the area. Who can do this to you? And she says, oh, there are two sons of Dasharath. Their name is Rama and Lakshmana. So he said, describe them to me. He says, Tarunau Rupa Sampannau. Taruna, they're teenage boys. Rupa Sampanna, they are so charmingly handsome. Sukumaro, very delicate. Sukumaro, Balau, but very strong. So this is the thing that Khara cannot understand. How can someone be very delicate and very strong at the same time? Says Pundarika Vishalakshau, Chira Krishna Jinambaro, very, very broad foreheads, big, beautiful reddish eyes like lotus petals, and walking around like ascetics, mendicants, not mendicant, ascetics, brahmacharis, eating fruits and roots. Tapasau Brahmacharino, Putrau Dasharathasyetau. These two are the sons of Dasharath who look like little boys. Oh boy, but they're very, very strong. Be careful. Of course, there are three different meanings for what she means. Today is not the time. So Krishna is also like that, very, very delicate, like a little baby lying down, completely disarming by his beauty and seemingly helplessness. But Putana has a very, very serious end moment reality to face. Any comments, thoughts, concerns, additions? You want to add something? Go, Kishore Prabhu. Can you give him a mic, please?
Can you please explain why, you know, when Lord Ramchandra's pastime also he killed, begins with, you know, ladies, and this one, so.
Yeah, so tomorrow Krishna closes his eyes.
That time will come.
So that's when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the different reasons why he closed his eyes. So the purport is only one line today.
No, I'm not going to close eyes.
Why Krishna and Krishna begins to, you know, first choose women, no?
But I don't know why women first.
Yeah,
do you know the meaning?
No,
why?
I heard, but I forget.
I think when Krishna closes his eyes, some explanation is there. One, that she's a woman, but why a woman and all that. I can't remember right now. Why woman? Why Tataka first? Why Putana first?
Yeah, what
time? I can't remember. I don't know. It's interesting though. Right, there are six meanings apparently. I don't know why woman first, unfortunately.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for class. I'm just wondering, suppose it's somewhat inconceivable, but...
Suppose someone?
No, I'm saying my question is, how can someone... so evil with such like cruel intentions as just killing babies, why does Krishna liberate her if she's so she's such a demon, but yet, you know, Krishna is so
we'll have to go back to third canto and to eighth canto. Okay, in third canto Uddhava speaking to Maitreya Rishi, and something doesn't fit well in his, within his intelligence, and he glorifies Krishna. He says, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. Bakiyam means the sister of Baki, Bakasura. Stana, her breast. Kalakutam, this very dangerous poison, deadly. Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakutam Jighamsaya Tad Apaya. She came with a very, very mal intent. But Lebhe Gatim Dhatram Uchitam. Krishna sent her to the spiritual world as one of the best mothers, Dhatrim Uchitam. Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Vrajema. Who can there be more compassionate than he that we can take shelter of? So one may say, how does Krishna's compassion and love work even for such a vicious, malicious person? As described, that she had the intent, like a micron worth of intent, to come as a mother. She disguised herself as a mother. So in that micron worth of motherly tendency was this gigantic mountain of malice. So Krishna, who's called Bhavagrahi, the one who takes our intentions, he only is concerned with intentions. He's not concerned with the grandiose of the action. What is our intention? So while this big intention was there, he killed her. He took her life away from that body. But that micron of intention to serve him as a mother, even if it was not out of love, he accepted it and sent her to the spiritual world. The question that Acharya has explained is, where did that tiny micron worth of intention to be a mother came. Where did it come from? In her previous life, Putana was Bali Maharaj's sister. So when Bali Maharaj had appeared and he was having this conversation with, when Vamana had appeared and was having this conversation with Bali Maharaj, Vamana was a dwarf Brahmin. Very, very, very cute looking. Have you seen cute devotee boys with shaved head, sika, tilak, dhoti? I mean, they're so cute looking. Everyone's like, wow, what a cute boy. So when Bali Maharaj's sister saw Vamana, in her heart was this urge, like, oh, how wonderful it would be to be a mother to this person. She had these motherly feelings for him that in the next life manifested as coming as a wet nurse. She could have come in this hideous place and overpowered everyone in Vrindavan. There was no one to stop her. But the deception that she came with was it like a mother. Unintentional, but motherly. Krishna accepted that. Then what to say about anyone who has a very strong intention to be a mother to Krishna? What if someone has a strong intention, a genuine intention to be a servant of Krishna? How will he be? How will he feel? If someone who has no interest, nothing but malice, but a very atomic sense of, you know, motherliness, even if it's disguised, if Krishna can give so much in return, what to speak of? That is Uddhava's flabbergasted expression of, wow, how can Krishna be like that?
Thank you. I'm reminded, your explanation, I thought of that saying, faith the size of a mustard seed. It's the smallest.
Well, I'm reminded of a story. Is a story from the Sri Vaishnava tradition. After Ramanujacharya, the main acharya was Parashara. And Parashara Bhatta, that's his name. So one day Parashara Bhatta was sitting with his disciples and they were discussing the different pastimes of Krishna, Narayana. And everyone was so absorbed. A hunter walked by. And in his hand was a rabbit. And he approached Parashara Bhatta and he said, yeah, what can I do for you? He said, I'm in a dilemma. I don't know what to do. Okay, what is your dilemma? So the hunter said, from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, since my childhood, I'm only used to one thing. I sharpen my arrows, I go to the forest, and any animal I see, I shoot and kill. So I'm used to it. It doesn't bother me at all. But this morning, when I was about to shoot my arrow to kill this rabbit came running and just lay like this at my feet, like helpless. I just didn't have the heart to kill him because he surrendered to me. I just couldn't kill him. I don't know what to do with the rabbit now. Please tell me. And Parashara Bhatta, in a moment, just went into this ecstatic, unconscious state. And everyone was like, wow. So slowly they revived him back. And they asked him, what is it that the hunter said that sent you into such ecstatic raptures? So he said, just see. That this fellow's heart that is so hard and encrusted with envy toward living entities, even he felt softness in his heart when that rabbit went to his feet. What to speak of how Krishna's heart is and how he must feel when anyone comes to him. Can you imagine? It's not imaginable. Someone whose heart is so soft that anyone can go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I'm here, please give me your shelter. How Krishna must feel? If this fellow who's a treacherous demon feels softness, how should Krishna feel? Just thinking of that sent me into ecstasy. That is who Krishna is. Prabhupada gave us access to such a personality whose compassion, love, empathy, softness is so unlimited that we cannot imagine. All we need is anukulena, to go with little favorability towards Krishna. That's all it requires, little favorability. Anukulena Krishna anusilanam. That's all Krishna is looking for. Nothing big, don't have to do anything fancy. Just tiny mustard seed worth of favorability. My dear Krishna, I want to serve you. Which is very hard to bring out, at least for me. But that's who Prabhupada introduced us to. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna.